CliffCentral.com.
Well, yep, we're here. It's all happening. Do you know, we've got to get used to those five-day weeks again next week from... No, yeah, next week. We've got one of them, and then I think there might be like 2 weeks, and then we've got another like short one. Let me just have a look here. Yes, sorry. You got two normal five-day weeks. It's going to kill you next week. You're going to hate yourself, yeah. The 27th is a Tuesday, right at the end of April, which is also a bit of a screw-up because I hate those middle-of-the-week public holidays, don't you? Get in the way. Stupid, right?
Just get used to it again.
No.
I was in a meeting with someone yesterday. He said, oh, I'm just so tired. I don't even know what day it is. And I said, honey, get used to it. The long weekends are gone.
What is it? Tired is katele, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Katele.
So you often will meet someone in like a lift or whatever. Yeah. You know, back in the days when we'd go to the office all the time. Hey, morning, everybody. I forgot to even say good morning. I just started talking shit straight away this morning. It's right out of the starting blocks. So you would meet someone in a lift in a, you know, like a Monday morning after the weekend and, you know, maybe even a long weekend, and people would have had plenty of time to rest. And you'll meet them first thing Monday morning, and like someone is leaning against the wall of the lift, and you're like, "Hey, morning." They go, "I'm tired." You're like,
I can't talk to people like that, though.
Hey, listen, we all get tired. I mean, you know, sometimes you're tired, and sometimes you're sick and tired. What irritates me is the way so many people on social media, when they're not winning an argument or when they don't have a good argument, they go, oh, I'm so exhausted by this, you know, and you're like, really? It exhausts you to argue with someone? Like, imagine if you actually had to do hard labor. Imagine if you had to like lift rocks, or you were a construction worker, or you worked in a mine.
The Jackson kids.
The Jackson kids, you had to pick up bricks at one end of the yard and take them to the other side of the yard. And then in the afternoon, they would do the opposite. Imagine how those people who are like so exhausted by like having an argument with someone on Twitter. I mean, yeah, if only you knew what work was. You know what I rewatched? It came up on my Facebook feed, and I saw it last probably about 5 years ago. And at that stage, it was breakthrough. Remember that talk that Simon Sinek does on millennials in the workplace?
Social media?
No, it's like about millennials in the workplace. He basically broke it down into four areas. He says like a lot of young people in the United States, and I think he's talking about the United States because it doesn't apply as much in South Africa. It applies to some people in South Africa, but not everybody. And it doesn't have to do with... Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to do with how rich or poor you are. It's like, number one is bad parenting has given us an unbelievable uphill battle with so many young people. Number two is a level of impatience, which they have. You know, there's this need to satisfy whatever you have and want now. The third thing is technology. And the fourth one is, I've just struck a blank. I think the fourth one has to do with, the environment. So the environments that we create for young people in work. And it was just really good to watch it again. And maybe I should post the link at the end of the show and you can just refresh your memory. Because it was so good. He was on some talk show and, you know, he's talking about the challenges of kind of working with and hiring people in their, at that stage, early 20s, I suppose. And a lot of it's still true, although you do meet exceptions to every rule, right? And that's what makes those people so interesting. So morning we're actually going to be joined by Simpiwe. I've been promising you for the longest time. Pumi can't make it today, so we thought, you know what a perfect excuse to bring Simpiwe in. Hey Simpiwe, how are you?
Hi guys, I'm good, and you?
There she is.
Good morning.
How are things going at the studio? I popped in yesterday. I did an impromptu visit to the studio, which I occasionally do, and Simpiwe looks at me and she's like, what are you doing here?
is that the response you want to hear when you walk into your own office?
Well, I was
it was weird. It's like
Yeah, yeah. She was sitting on her own in the production booth there, busy doing some work. And I'm like, "Hi, Simpiwe," and she's like, "What the hell? What are you up to here?" Because I was in on
those
Tuesday.
Are good, Gareth.
Yeah, well,
keep everyone on their toes.
That's not why I did it. I was curious to see like what was going on, because I usually go in on Tuesdays and sometimes on Fridays, and I thought, well, I'm in the area anyway. Let me see what's happening.
Simpiwe, let me warn you ahead of time. I heard from HR that Gareth will also now be knocking at our doors at home.
Yes.
To see what we're really
doing. That's right. In fact, I'm flying down.
I'm not too worried.
No, I'm flying down to Durban today just to go and check on Sia, and I'm going to like knock on his dad's door and like say hi to yes. Mr. Sangweni. And then I'll just say, hey, just checking in, and then I'll leave again.
It's a mess down here. You know, I don't know why I'm now feeling this way. Maybe it's not really cabin fever, but I think now it's time for me to get out of here very quickly. I'm now in our guest bedroom, which is more like away from everyone.
It looks nice there. I like there's some nice the curtains look very, very fancy, and the picture behind you. Oh, look at that.
Well, this is now just what my mother does on the daily very often. Yeah, so
I like that.
She changes this room up all the time.
Show me that picture behind you. That's very nice. I like that.
I don't know if you can actually really see, but it's even fabric that pops out of the art itself. I know by the time I come back here, it will probably be changed again. But, you know, I've now isolated myself here because I think it's too people-y on the other side of the house. I've now realized I'm accustomed to my own things, my own pace at my own place. Here, everyone is in your business. I now have to whisper because I'm skittering about them. Even things like my own stationery. Even just last week, we were talking about, my pens and, you know, the way things are. I had to spend a good 10, 15 minutes last night looking for a decent pen to write with. I kid you not, I'm using my niece's Koki right now to write. This is how bad it's become. So now I'm like, get me out of here.
Well, I mean, so aren't you...
Get me out of here.
Are you kind of stuck there, or are you going to book a flight? Because you drove down with your cousin, right?
Yeah, now I'm thinking he was originally going to drive up this weekend, and I'm thinking, do I have the patience to make it through?
Yeah.
This is like 2 more days. Is mighty, mighty long time.
No, I'm with you. You know, it's like in any situation, even if, because I haven't stayed at home with my parents for, it's been, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years. No, it's even longer than that. It's probably about 20 years. And if I had to suddenly move back home, and a lot of people do, hey, like especially during lockdown last year, I think a lot of people who lost their jobs and things, that couldn't pay the rent, then they had to move in with their folks again, or had to move in with other family members or whatever. And you might not be in your comfort zone. You might not have your favorite pen, Sia, but you have to just, you're lucky to have a roof over your head, right? So you don't complain too much. And maybe for the first few days it goes well and it's, oh, wow, this is good. It's nice to be with the family. But then on, you know, one of the days, I don't know, it could be day 5 or it could be day 20. You look around and you're like, oh, these people are irritating me. I need my space. but
I don't know why.
If they're letting you back in, you got to shut up and just grin and bear it, because otherwise they'll kick you out and they'll be like, go. You think you're so good at this? Go.
And I don't know why we also tend to forget this, but it's just like going on holiday with family members, going on a holiday with a lot of people.
Yeah.
First couple of days, great.
Always.
Day 3, day 4, it's like, shaky.
Yeah.
Shaky.
That's right.
So, like, this weekend, I moved from my room into the main bedroom because there's somebody else who's going to come live with us. And that has been quite interesting. It feels like I'm moving out the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, but there's my room. And it's like getting acquainted with, like, somebody else's room. He's just like, this bed is not the
doesn't
way
feel
my bed
right.
was.
It's not the same.
Exactly.
And it's like, but it's still the same house. And it's like, no, but it's so weird. It's orcs.
Wait until you really move out. You're going to love it.
Yeah, no, it's no fun. I would rather if I could have it back the way that it was, and we were talking about like millennials and how many young people kind of stay with their parents well into their 30s now. If I could redo it, I would have stayed longer. You get free food, free accommodation. You don't have to pay the rent. You don't have to like fix cracks that develop on the walls because it's not your house. Someone else takes care of that. You don't have to stress about like, all the usual like washing up, and I mean you might have some chores to do, but it's so much easier than actually having to do it all yourself. And I'll tell you what, like living on your own, and I've been doing that for a long time now,
don't make yourself sound 104.
No, but listen, it's by choice, and I do love it. There's way more positive than there is negative. But one of the things that I have very little appreciation for is cooking. And you know, I don't care about food very much, but when you're only cooking for yourself, it's not fun. So you don't go to the trouble that you would if you were living with somebody, or if you had a husband or wife, or if you had a cousin living with you or a roommate or whatever, because at least if there's someone else, you can occasionally make something nice and go, "Hey, look at this." You do that on your own. What are you doing? "Hey, look at this, but it's just me." That's kind of lame.
No.
This is why we have Instagram. You take pictures of your food. This is why we have social media. So you could be like, ta-da. Just say.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like so that's the same thing that frustrates me about these cooking shows on TV is you can't taste it. So what's the point? It's food. It's not art. I mean, it might be a kind of art to some people, but it's mostly just food. Get on with it.
But it looks scrumptious. And then you also want to make it. And then next time you order something, you're like, "Oh, I know that it has to be a bit, al dente." And you know the terms that you have to use.
Listen to her. I'm changing.
Yeah, you're into them more than we are.
Yes, I watch everything, all the cooking shows. And then I'll try out some of the things. I'm not into cooking, but baking.
Oh, wow.
Mean cheesecake.
Really?
So, yeah.
You're in trouble. Now you have to make one for us the next time it's someone's birthday. You must never. You've been at Cliff Central for a while. You went away and then you came back. And you don't realize, like, you must never admit shit like that on the show, because now you have to come back and make us a cheesecake. Now we're not going to let you go that easily. What's wrong with you?
Never ever thought to just, brighten up our Mondays by bringing some cheesecake in.
Mm.
Well, it's a lot of work, because I don't have like the right equipment, but it's all worth it. It's like, ta-da!
Yeah,
I don't know, my YouTube and also on Facebook, the videos that pop up, my algorithms are clearly so off these days, because I'm getting a lot of these cooking videos pop up, and I thought, read the room. I'm not the person to send them.
Maybe someone else has been using your logins.
Who is there? Is this very smug woman she's just smug. There's just, it starts with an I. Maybe some people, her. She's like a middle aged woman, Anina, or something.
Oh, I'm horrible with names, so.
She just has one of those faces that almost look like they're caving in a little, just smug.
That sounds horrible.
Sorry. I'm sounding so bitchy this morning. And
no, you are.
Okay.
At this point,
I'll warm up in 3 minutes.
At this point, I would very much like to play you Jane's insult of the week, which we've been promising you since Tuesday. I feel kind of bad about that. Today it is none other than Sia Sangweni. So get ready, Sia. This is not going to be an easy ride for you. So here it is. This is Jane Malachi saying her say.
I have not heard it either.
No, you're about.
Are you ready, Sia?
Yeah, Sipiwa, you came into the firing line last week, so you know what this feels like. Yeah. All right. Here she is.
But she wasn't that hectic on me. So good luck, Sia.
Okay, let's hear.
Here it is for Sia. Jane, what do you have to say about Sia?
Sia, he left Cliff Central and he came back. Rina, find Sia somewhere at the beach in Durban. Sia was doing drugs. He was struggling. And we welcome him back with two hands. And look at him now. He's the CEO of ENCA. Just imagine, Sia, next time when you go, we're not going to do, say, Sia, you are a CEO of Cliff Central. We're going to just close all the door and change the password. I don't think we'll welcome you back again. Next time when you left, Sia, someone, think twice. Because this is Cliff Central. You are not the only person who left here and come back. Everyone, they think they can just go and come back. Sia, someone, think twice before you do something. I love you, but next time, I'm going to delete your number.
You know, there's this like ongoing theme. She's so mean. First of all, Sia was not on a beach doing drugs. I don't know where she gets that idea. So that's just made up. Let's just clear that up.
That part, I really wonder where she gets from. I really wonder.
But second of all, I mean, she said the same thing about Sampiwe. It's like she's got a real problem with people who leave and then come back. Like Jane has not got an open door policy. In other words, If you have caused chaos for her once, or you've upset her delicate balance once, she's never going to let you back in. And she added this part, Sia, so you got a two-part insult, as if that isn't enough. Here's the rest.
See, I heard that you had an accident. You know, next time when you drive, you must drive properly. I know that I don't have license. I don't know how to drive. But the way you just say, I had my accident, I tried to hold my brakes, but I found out that I was already in the accident. That's ridiculous, boy. Learn how to drive. It's not the first time you had an accident. Do you remember the first time when you drive your father's car? You had an accident with your father's car. You remember? See ya. Hey, Babawe, be careful.
Where do we go from here? Well, I had to stop her because she had more to say, but I thought it was going on too long. But she would have carried on all day. She had lots to say to you.
It's also news to me that I'm the CEO of ENCA.
Yeah, she thinks you're the CEO of ENCA.
Oh, congratulations.
No, well done on that one.
Yeah, thank you. No. It's very great that I found that out. And, you know, she says it's, to me, even in our personal conversations, that she really does own the fact that she's the reason I am back.
Mm.
She says, no. I told Gareth Arena to call
you. She's in charge.
Down and out.
She thinks you were down and out. She thinks that you basically, you couldn't, there's no way you'd be able to make it back on your own. And she had to intervene on your behalf. That's what she said.
It's very interesting to hear that I was doing drugs. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know. There's no response to that even.
Okay. Unbelievable. That's
but she's also giving you like driving tips, even though she doesn't know how to drive. So, yeah.
No, but at least she did put that disclaimer up front, the fact that she doesn't know how to drive, but she can
Jane's got lots of instructions for everybody. I mean, if we had to do like a list of suggestions for Jane, that could go on for a long time. Ben thinks she's hilarious, but he also finds her really annoying. So the two of them used to fight all the time. And some people,
depending how they're feeling about each other,
some people are so intimidated by Jane that they don't talk back to her. But actually, she probably respects you more if you fight with her, you know. There used to be Friday fights. Do you remember there used to be like a fight every single Friday? Just before we went into lockdown, it was starting to become a problem. She would pick like a fight with somebody just because she was in a mood to like box, and she would look for trouble with someone, and it could be anybody on that day. But I'll say this, she's never looked for trouble with me. She's I think she's a bit wary of me.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Because she knows where her brain is buttoned. But anyone else?
Yeah, suddenly she's all right.
Game.
I've got to read you this poem. Someone sent this to me. I found it on social media, and I can't even remember. And then it was going around or whatever. But this is like my favorite poem at the moment. And a lot of people, I suppose, take it the wrong way. But I think it's really useful to, you know, people are always blaming someone else. And this is a poem called Yourself to Blame by Mame White Miller. So just listen to this, because it's hardcore, but it's also really good. It's powerful stuff. I like it. And I'm going to learn this by heart because it's one of those when someone's being nye, 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 they're moaning. If you're sitting around people and someone goes, ah, it's so hard to be me and the government and nye, 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 my family or whatever, then you say this to them.
And I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted on Twitter from arguing. If things go bad for you and make you a bit ashamed, often you will find out you have yourself to blame. Swiftly we ran to mischief, and then the bad luck came. Why do we fault others? We have ourselves to blame. Whatever happens to us, here is what we say. Had it not been for so-and-so, things would not have gone that way. And if you're short of friends, this is the best paragraph. If you're short of friends, I'll tell you what to do. Make an examination. You'll find the faults in you. You are the captain of your ship, so agree with the same. If you travel downward, you have yourself to blame. How do you like that? It's just great. I love that.
Anything that goes wrong in your life, blame yourself.
Yeah, you have yourself to blame. I like that. Take personal responsibility. And you know what? If you examine the situation, you find out, like, actually, that wasn't my fault, then cool. Then you can, you know, you can deal with what the other causes might be, the workplace, or maybe it is the government, maybe it is your finances that someone else has been stealing money from. It could be anything, but start off with you. And I just love that poem because nobody says that anymore. These days, it's always somebody else's fault. All right, so we've got to get to a bunch of things this morning. We've got the Burning Platform coming on at 7, which is this morning with Yael Pepra, who's returning as he's been on the show before, so he's a returning champion. And we've also got some feedback from Tracy, who listens to us, about something that's going on during lockdown that maybe people haven't been paying as much attention to. And we always get really good emails from all kinds of people in all kinds of places. So if you want to get hold of us, Gareth at cliffcentral.com. But Sia's actually got a little update for us on something that the Chinese are dealing with. We were talking earlier about how when you live on your own, you start getting used to certain mm-hmm. things. And Sia's now, you know, staying with the family this week, and he's ready to go back home. But apparently more than 92 million young Chinese people happily live alone. You think you've got like loneliness in your life. It's amazing that 92 million people are so alone in China. They live on their own. Obviously, you know, a lot of them never partner up, or they partner up too late in life to have kids. And it's a big problem. So now even the government in China is stepping in. Now, can you imagine how sad your life is if in order to stop you from being lonely, you have to ask the government to help you? Listen to this. I mean,
I think it is so... I think it is so funny that this has to be an official, legitimate conversation amongst politicians, because it's that much of a problem in China. We've discussed before how China is concerned about the rate at which people, and particularly young people, are having children, and they worry that their population will be decreasing, and already is decreasing, but rather decreasing substantially because of it. But now they are concerned about relationships in particular amongst young people, because there's just this huge sector of the population who's very happy on their own, not in a relationship, right, not getting married. And I wonder what they're actually going to do about it. So far, the National People's Congress, this is China's annual political conference, has on their agenda to discuss this as a matter. They say they're going to pay more attention to marriage and love issues of the empty nest youths. Is that what you want to be described as a young person?
That's so embarrassing.
It's so sad.
They're discussing it at the Congress. Yeah.
They're tabling this as a point of conversation as well on the agenda. They will provide these empty nest youths more services related to their physical and mental health so that they can promote more relationships and marriages amongst them. But these are 92 million odd people who are saying they're actively choosing to be single. They don't feel the need to be in a relationship. They don't feel the need to be married, and they love the way their lives are right now. 41% of people who were recently polled in China cite the main reason being that they just actively choose to be single and they're tired of useless romantic entanglements. That's what they said.
Exhausted. And another 38, they're exhausted.
Exhausted. So exhausted. And then another 38% said being an empty nest youth was also a choice made by them because they're escaping from the responsibilities that come with starting a family. And then only just around 13% who were polled said that they were forced to live alone due to life and economic pressures, while only 7% said they're living alone because they were unable to find true love. So they aren't willing to settle.
All right. So only 7% are alone because they couldn't find true love. The rest sound like they've chosen it. And therefore, you can't really feel sorry for them. It's not like sad. It's not pathetic, you know. I mean, if 7% couldn't find true love, so they're the ones who are saying, you know, I'm not lonely by choice. The rest are saying, I am. I'm on my own. I'm not necessarily lonely, but I'm alone. There's a difference.
But I also admire that 7%, not to be shady or judge people in some relationships, but if I sort of squint at some people and if they were more honest with themselves, some people are in relationships of convenience or, you know, it's not this big, great Disney romantic love, but it's like, okay, well, we relatively get along. I'm stable at work. You're stable at work. We relatively want the same thing. So sure, let's give this a shot. It's not that, you're the love of my life.
And that's you're right. There are a lot of people who are only around other people because they're terrified of being alone. That's horrible. That's a bad place to be. But Fundo is going straight for the jugular. He's like, he doesn't care. China has a population problem, according to him, so it's a blessing to them. There's no room for error there. And Bichleng is saying, I am an empty nest adult. Take me to China already.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I
just want to know, like, how are they going to roll it out? Like, are they going to have, like, love centers? I'm interested to know. Because if you choose to be single, then why would I choose not to be single?
Every suburb.
Like, what's the incentive?
Every suburb and every village is going to have their own version of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette every week. That's what they're going to do.
Basically.
Because, of course, we know reality TV is where you find true love, right?
Yeah. No. But, like, what's the incentive? Are we going to get money? Are we going to get, like, if you are happy as a single person, why would you then volunteer to get into a relationship?
Do you know what they do in Norway and Sweden and Finland and Denmark, which is, you know, like the Scandinavian countries also have a negative birth rate. They have less people having children and living together and getting married than almost any other geographical area on earth. Do you know what they do?
No. Nope.
You talk about incentives. So they actually give away holidays, but only to couples. Okay. So if you're in your 20s, I think maybe your early 30s, but there's a cutoff. It's like 35, they stop giving a shit about you. But if you are between 20 and 35, I think it is, and you have just started a relationship, then the government will actually send you. This is in the days before COVID, obviously, when, you know, travel was easier. But they would send you to like a nice tropical island for a week on the government's money, just so that you could go there, have sex and make children, because they're worried that their population is going to decline really badly. So that's what they were doing not so long ago.
It is bizarre to me when the state get involved. It's a little
horrible. It's like when your aunt,
like your parents getting involved.
Yeah, it's
someone,
like,
trying to sit you up.
It's some older relative trying to force you into a relationship or a marriage. I think that's kind of the impression I get. But it's even worse because it's not a relative, so they don't even know you. They're like, oh, citizen number 42997316 is still single. We'd better put them with citizen 33251143. I mean, can you imagine? Like the state computing system is busy matchmaking people behind the scenes. Oh, we've noticed this person on social media. Well, I mean, they don't have social media like we do in China. Maybe that's what they need, is like Tinder.
In 20 years' time, if they do set up a successful relationship, what do they then talk about? You know, it's not like, oh, we met at a coffee shop. What? Oh, the government emailed me their profile.
Yeah, the government. Your children wonder, wow. Like, Mom, Dad, how did you get married? How did you meet? Well, son, yeah. the government sent me an email with your mother's details, and then they forced us to spend a week together in Chongyang province.
Oh, wow. I can already see some of the stories starting off, like people saying back in the day, you had to worry about going to war. Now we have to worry about being in relationships. And I didn't want to be in this relationship, so I had an affair with this lady. Oh, man. I can just see it already.
And then suddenly, like, if relationships don't work out, then you blame the government, right? You're like, well, we didn't get our state love subsidy this month, so we decided to call it quits.
Love subsidy.
Imagine.
Are you guys shocked by a number like that? 92 million?
That's a lot of
people. In relation to their population. I wonder what it would be in this country.
I think
it has a lot of love.
Mm-mm. You think we have a lot of love? I think we have a lot of side chick and blesser and blessee action. That's what we've got.
Yeah, and girls are very proud of that, you know? Some of them will be like, yeah, my man is in a marriage and I'm happy. What's the term? The marriage is not that serious.
That's right. This is it's 8:30. We've got to get to headlines. Let me do that quickly. So if you've just joined us, Simpiwe is with us, Sia is with us, and we are here to keep you busy on a Thursday morning and to let you know what's happening in the world. So on to the headlines. First of all, Parliament has named a committee which will, I don't know why it's taking them so long to decide what to do with Busisiwe Mkhwebane, but this woman is like, she's like Teflon. You cannot get rid of her. So none of the ANC MPs who are associated with the so-called Radical Economic Transformation Grouping will serve on the committee to investigate whether Busisiwe Mkhwebane is fit for the office of public protector. So definitely some things happening behind the scenes of the ANC. Whether or not this will result in action, nobody seems to know. But the RET, that's the Radical Economic Transformation Faction, they support Mkhwebane and they claim that they can't support a DA motion. However, the beleaguered Mkhwebane can still bank on the support of EFF leader Julius Malema as a voting member and EFF MP Ompile Maotwe and the ATM, remember them, Tandiswa Marau, who are non-voting members. But they're all going to be on that committee.
Is ATM Hladi Motsoneng?
No, ATM is Jimmy Mani.
Mani.
Mzwanele. But he used to be Jimmy. He was fine with Jimmy until just a short while ago. Now suddenly it's...
rebrand, Garrett.
And he gets upset, hey, if you call him Jimmy now. He's like, no, Mzwanele. We had him on the TV show not so long ago. But yes, I do think it's funny that Mzwanele Mani's party is called the ATM because many people see politics as a way to get money out of a machine. That's all they see. So I just want to quickly, before we move on to the next headline, just go to Brandon's comment here. Brandon says, being single can be very gratifying. Do what you want, stay out as late as you want, hang out with who you want and no one to argue with. Never mind those undisturbed weekend snoozers. That is a big plus, and Brandon's on the money. Yep. But Sliced 19 says, if you find yourself struggling with loneliness, you are not alone. And yet, you are alone. So very alone. That's so mean. I love it. All right.
But it makes so much sense.
If you came to this show for like sympathy, it's not going to go well. All right. So, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, and then you need to know something else about China. Beijing now has more billionaires than any other city in the world. That's according to the latest.
I need to move there.
Well, you're going to be single, but you might have billions. That doesn't sound like such a bad deal. The Chinese capital added 33 billionaires last year, according to Forbes' annual rich list, now hosts 100 billionaires. That's amazing. Narrowly beats New York City, which hosts 99. And New York has held the top spot for the last 7 years. China's quick containment of COVID-19, the rise of technology firms and stock markets helped it to gain the top spot. although Beijing has now got more billionaires than New York, the combined net worth of New York City's billionaires remains at $80 billion, which is greater than that of the counterparts in Beijing. Hey, listen, it must be so competitive in that world of billionaires. I mean, I'm not going to have a whole lot of sympathy left over to, oh, shame, you know, China has more billionaires, but they have a little bit less shame. You know, I'm sure they'll be fine. Angela Merkel. You know Angela Merkel, who wears those marvelous pantsuits that just like, you know, they almost look like she's had 100 of them made in different colors, but they're all the same. They look exactly the same.
Mbulelo has posters of her, like, up in his bedroom.
Mbulelo is actually the biggest Angela Merkel fan, and who would have known that that was what turned him on? But Angela Merkel is his idea of a very sexy person. So, you know, it takes different people, different strokes, as they say, that different people like and turn different people on. But yes, his dream girlfriend is Angela Merkel. So she...
Interesting.
Very interesting, right? She is in favor of tightening virus restrictions in Germany for a short period to stem rising case numbers, her spokeswoman said on Wednesday. Merkel has backed calls for a national lockdown, but a short one. Ulrike Demmer said this, noting that the country's health system was under growing pressure. That's her spokesperson. Germany has been in some form of shutdown since November, but has struggled to bring case numbers down in recent weeks with a surge in the British variant of the virus. At their last meeting in March, Merkel and the leaders of Germany's 16 states agreed national rules, including strict shutdowns and possible curfews in areas with more than 100 new infections per 100,000 people over 7 days. Now, that's not a lot of people, but you see, there's an additional complication to this, is that there are huge numbers of people in Germany who are sick to death of lockdowns now, and they're actually protesting openly in the streets, and they're saying, hey, listen, Angela Merkel, if you want to put us under lockdown, there's a vote coming, there's an election coming soon, and we will get your ass out of there. So she's treading very, very carefully at the moment. You remember Tiger Woods had that crash, right? Back in, what was it, January, February? February 23rd, that's when it happened. Apparently, they say he was driving at an unsafe speed, nearly double the speed limit when he crashed in California in February. Woods' SUV was traveling at up to 87 miles an hour, which is about 140 Ks an hour. That's fast because he wasn't on a highway.
Mm.
And it flew off the road and flipped several times during the accident in Ranchos Palos Verdes, leaving the 15-time major champion with a shattered right leg. You know, I've been in accidents, right? And I've caused accidents, luckily, where it was just me. And you relive that so many times in your head. Now, just imagine if you were Tiger Woods. You've been this incredible golfer, and you've been winning. You went through a bit of a difficult patch when you broke up with your wife and you were cheating on her and all that stuff, but then you get back into it and people just love you and you're so good. You're so naturally talented at golf and you work so hard at golf, and then suddenly, you know, because of one bad decision, like you drove home too fast, now you have a shattered leg. You might never really reach the level of golf that you were at before. And I remember with my accidents, you just relive it over and over again. In your head, you imagine, what if I'd gone slower? What if I had swerved this way instead of that way? What if I was on this piece of road rather than that? What if the weather was different? You know, like you try to figure out in your head. I suppose it's part of why these things make an impression on us, is because your brain wants you to make better decisions next time. But I feel sorry for the guy. I really do. It's just awful. And it was all him. Like, there were no other cars involved.
And then with all of that, also add in the fact that the world is watching in his case.
Oof, yeah. So it's embarrassing.
All of that pressure. You know,
yeah.
And you try to watch TV and you're an item on the news bulletin, and then there's scandals, and then you're on the gossip shows, and there's speculation about you. You feel all of that. And I'm sure your sponsors are and business associates are calling, and they're adding pressure to you as well. I do not envy his life at all.
Yeah. Yonder's just done some maths, and this does make sense. The headline of the city with the most billionaires does make sense. If New York has 100 people who are billionaires, then the minimum total should be 100 billion, not 80 billion. That is what it said in the article. I'm just going to go back to it quickly because that doesn't make any sense, right? This is the BBC. So let me just go back to
this. This is involving some counting.
Well,
just want to add that.
So the Big Apple, the combined net worth of New York City's billionaires remained at 80 billion. Oh, sorry. Not 80 billion. 80 billion more than the ones in Beijing. So that was my fault. I read it wrong, but it's the net worth of New York City's billionaires is 80 billion greater than that of their counterparts in Beijing. So thank you very much for that. Yonda and Tyrell doing a little calculation. Tyrell's calculation is about Tiger Woods' speed. Now that one I can say I did read properly. So they said it was 84 to 87 miles per hour that he was going. That's 140 kilometers an hour. So that was the number for Tiger Woods. So I didn't get that one wrong, but the Beijing billionaires, that was my fault. So thank you. You see, people are paying attention. You can't screw up this time in the morning.
Shout out to y'all.
Ruth says Angela Merkel and sexy shouldn't be in the same sentence. Ask Mbulelo. Don't ask me. I didn't think that she was, but Mbulelo does. And finally, this headline is from Joe Biden. He's that very, very old man who doesn't know what day it is, but he's the president of the United States, and he holds press conferences where he kind of just drifts away in the middle of the press conference. Joe Biden will unveil measures on Thursday aimed at curbing rampant U.S. gun violence. Because, of course, we all know it's guns that kill people, not people who kill people, right? It's not knives that kill people. These are the same people who will tell you that climate change is killing people. But, you know, it's definitely guns. It's not people. Anyway, he says he's going to prevent the spread of untraceable ghost guns. He's come under pressure from his Democratic Party to tackle the bloodshed, most recently highlighted by mass killings as far apart as Colorado, Georgia, and California. I hope they're going to ban cars because those also kill people. You know, it's very dangerous.
And knives.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Knives.
Everything.
In fact, yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to have knives in your kitchen because they can definitely kill people. And Joe Biden is the guy to sort this out for us. He's going to basically remove everything. He's going to put everyone in padded cells so we can't hurt ourselves. That's what he's going to do. In addition to relatively modest, come on, man. In addition to relatively modest measures on the politically hypersensitive issue, Biden will announce his nomination of David Chipman, who is a gun control proponent, to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which is the agency that will fight gun violence in America. Exciting stuff. More government. That's what people need. More government. It's just terrific. Ban people, says COVID Solutions, because people kill people.
That's a great solution, hey?
Yes.
Just one by one.
And
this is a bit of a tangent, but whenever we receive a message from COVID Solutions, bar the name, I'm always intrigued by their profile picture. Is it Bill Gates with blue fingers?
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. It looks almost...
It always bothers me whenever I receive a message. It's like Bill Gates with something on those blue fingernails, and some sort of like chip on. Sorry if you're not watching, because this doesn't mean
that's
anything.
That's a good, but that is that's an interesting. I didn't even notice it until you said that.
So,
Now
you can't see it.
Therence Cameron, that's a hell of a name. Says, please post that poem. You see, there was one person who liked my "You Have Yourself to Blame" poem. So I will. I'll put that up on the website as well. You can go and read it there. And you should memorize it. And just whenever someone's moaning and complaining at the dinner table, or, you know, if you meet them socially, then you just bring that up. You're like, "You have yourself to blame." And you just recite the poem. That'll shut them up, put them right in their place.
Gareth, COVID came in as a suggestion earlier, but you should send it to WhatsApp Pete as a continuation of yesterday's show.
Yeah, we were talking about a friend of mine on a WhatsApp group who's become a bit of a problem, and we decided to give them the arbitrary name of Pete. So I said I'd keep you updated. No new stories, no breakthroughs from the the point of view of Pete or the rest of us at this stage, but I'll keep you informed. COVID Solutions says that that picture is Bill Gates with Edward Scissorhand vaccine needles. Okay.
Okay.
People really don't like Bill Gates, hey? They really don't like him. He's getting a lot of heat from people. And listen, he is a strange person, and he's like a super turbo nerd, but I don't know that he's this evil. It seems to me like he would have had to be so unbelievably strategic so long ago. If he's this evil mastermind whose plan it is to microchip all of us or to give us dangerous vaccines, if this was his plan, then starting a software company is a hell of a way to go about that. I'm just saying, it's a very complicated, you know, it's not an obvious evil genius path to world domination. I'm less likely to believe that than many other things. Apparently, Tracy says carrots. Too many carrots can kill you. Vitamin D is a killer, so we have to ban carrots as well. Basically, guys, we have to ban all the things that could be dangerous to us, which means everything, including some Pee Wee's cheesecake.
No,
we're going to ban it because it could be dangerous. Could kill us.
All right, you could choke on it. Yeah,
I want to go to an email that we got from Tracy. So, Tracy, if you remember, she's been on the show before, and Tracy's got one or two problems, and she needs a specialist physiotherapist once a week, and she actually does see a specialist physiotherapist once a week. She runs a private practice from a government special care facility for severely physically and mentally challenged people. The facility has been closed for a year because of COVID and the lockdowns. It's only just reopened. That's meant that Tracy, who listens to us and sent the email, hasn't had therapy for over a year. I am fortunate, she says, that I can also go for hydrotherapy, which is similar to physio, but in a heated swimming pool. It's best for me to have both forms of therapy. While I understand your perspective on lockdowns, the facility in which my physio works had to close. The people that benefit from this center cannot afford to get sick, given their already compromised health. As a philanthropist, I can only wonder how many other care facilities have had to close their doors because of the pandemic, and more importantly, how many people in need have had to go without therapies, basic care, educational input, etc. That's just something I found to be a COVID story that she says is often overlooked. I'm telling you, we'll only begin to calculate the full cost of all of this stuff in 10 years from now. And we'll look back and go, wow, that completely... We missed that. There was something we didn't know how to deal with, and there was something we didn't have answers to. And I think Tracy's right. Like, we're just starting to scratch the surface on what the real long-term consequences and costs are going to be.
But there's just too much to calculate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's impossible.
There's too much on the floor here as a cost.
This is why I don't believe like Bill Gates is an evil genius who made this happen, because there are too many unknowns. And if this was his plan, it's not a great plan. You know, it's not the best evil genius plan. But I don't think he's a bad person with bad intentions. But he's certainly involved in a bunch of things that he shouldn't be involved in, like. He's not trying to get us to eat less meat, but he owns apparently the most farmland in the United States. Now, why has he been buying up farmland if he doesn't want us to eat meat? Some of that farmland is obviously for grazing for cows. So there are a lot of weird things going on with Bill Gates. Listen, I wouldn't want to be married to that dude. I think he's weird. I do think he's a
firstly, he needs a better moisturizer, if he even uses one, I doubt
it. Oh, is that your feedback?
He just needs a better moisturizer. But also, I'll reserve my opinion, because maybe in an exactly 7 years' time, at this hour of the day, we'll be bowing down to him for the first of three times that we're praising and hailing the great Bill Gates.
I remember I went to that talk that he did in, I think it was in it was either Mamelodi or Kharankua, and he was he came out to South Africa, and it was part of the Nelson Mandela Memorial Lecture.
Uh-huh.
And there were, everybody was there. Like, you cannot believe, like, these, the great and good all pitched up, including Cyril, like everybody. And the funny thing was, like, all these people who come from, like, the fancy suburbs were all driving their flash cars into this township to go and listen to the richest man in the world. It was like so weird. It was like only South Africa could put on a show like that. You know, you got people driving between the shacks to get to this hall, and then they get to the hall and they listen to this, at that point, the richest man in the world, giving everybody else a lecture. You're like, okay, this is very weird. I looked around and you see all the, you know, the most wealthy and famous and important and powerful South Africans around you. And you're like, this is so strange. We're in a township. We're listening to this billionaire from America. And all these people have taken time out to drive their shiny, fancy cars through the shacks to get here. It was so odd. Very, very weird. The contrasts were just crazy. I'll never forget that. Very strange.
Why do I picture him as someone who's actually smaller than he appears on screen?
He...
as in height.
Yeah, just a little wrinkly, shrivelly.
You really don't like his appearance. Like, this is the second time you brought up wrinkly and shrivelly. You think he really needs that moisturizer badly. See, just because you are one of those people who knows how to use moisturizer properly, don't be hating on the rest of us who don't, all right?
Oh.
Don't get me started on Melinda and, you know, just a good flat iron and a better dye job. But anyway, you know, they're great people and do amazing things for malaria and advancing the world with technology. Who am I?
Yeah, exactly. So today is the day, 27 years ago, that Kurt Cobain died. And he died at the age of 27. And he, of course, committed suicide. Didn't they find it? They found him. He was hanging, right, when they found him. He hanged himself. I think that's what happened. He was married to Courtney Love at the time, famous for Nirvana. And all of their songs in the 90s, that's like that grunge rock explosion that happened, and very talented musician. And there were lots of people who were just in love with him. Like, especially there were women who like were screaming and throwing like their clothes at him when he was on stage because they just wanted to marry him. And then he ended up with Courtney Love, who's like the biggest disaster in the world. Oh, it was a shotgun. That's right. Oy, oy, oy.
Yes.
Very messy.
Okay. He also left a note.
A shotgun. Oh. Oof. You got to be so...
I just can't believe it. 27 years ago.
I do remember the shotgun thing now. I don't know why. Oh, it was in excess as Michael Hutchence who hanged himself. It wasn't Kurt Cobain. I mixed up my lead singers there. But this guy... You know, can I just ask a favor? If anybody is thinking of, like, please don't kill yourself in the first place. But if you're going to, like, a shotgun is very messy. You're really making it difficult for emergency services. Like, try to keep it tidy, if you don't mind. No, I mean, this is practical advice. People don't say this because people are going to lie to you and they're going to say, you know, at that point you are very, very depressed and you don't know what to do. But I'll tell you what, a little bit of practicality right at the end could save a lot of time for emergency services workers. And I don't think if you're going to do this, I don't think you should do it in a messy way. Please, let's be considerate to those people who have to clean up afterwards. All right?
But if you
noted.
Are in a...
Yeah, noted. Exactly.
No,
thank you.
Not
thank
you, noted. Not to condone it for anything. But if you're in that space to do something that tragic, I highly doubt you have the... mindset of, oh yeah, let me think about others. You really are in such a horrible space. That's the last of your concerns. Let me put it that way.
Sia, here is a really practical thing that you can help with. Harmin says, Sia, I need a better moisturizer. What are your recommendations? Ah, this is Sia's favorite area of expertise. So go ahead.
Okay.
Harmin. We need to have a longer, more in-depth conversation about this. You know, where are you moisturizing? Why? What do you need exactly? Do you need a serum? Do you need something to rejuvenate? Do you need an anti-wrinkles something? Do you need an SPF something? Is it for your face? Is it for your hands? Is it for your neck? Is it for, you know, those parts that we should not be leaving out of the equation, like your back, the sides of your body, where the muffin top starts to form, is for your thighs, anti-cellulite. That's a long conversation. Yeah. Sorry. Message me.
I'm surprised you didn't ask about his skin, you know, if he has like combination or dry or, I'm surprised you didn't bring that up.
I think Sia is trying to skirt the issue because he's actually passing it. He's passing the buck to someone else. He's saying you need a proper evaluation. Oh. You need an assessment. In other words, different moisturizers for different people, right, Sia?
And also different parts of your body.
Hmm.
So how many
different kinds of moisturizer do you have?
Let me just think in terms of what they all do. Just three for my face.
Three different ones just for your face.
That's a lot.
Seven
different kinds.
How much do you spend?
Yeah.
Oh,
something's last a longer time, like something just for my feet, because ashy feet are not a thing, so we're not going to do that.
Sure.
You know, this is an investment I'm very happy with, okay? So I don't need to send any child to school, so this is what I'll do with
my
money.
Well, Sloot Steenkamp says, I don't even have hand cream. So
why are you assuming that is how Sloot sounds, guys?
I'm thinking that's how Sloot sounds. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
I'm judging with the hand cream. I don't carry one in my backpack, but in my handbag, I always have a hand cream. Like, you can't have ashy hands. Like, what if you didn't take pictures?
This is an important thing. Absolutely, Simpiwe. And we are going into winter now, so people have to think about this stuff. You don't want to be ashy.
Yeah.
All right, everybody? Let's not be ashy.
Yeah.
Horrible.
The eyeballs, please, you know.
Yes.
Add a bit more.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
That's all I'm saying.
Someone's calling me outrageous here. Asha says, so if we've taken up too much time on the planet, then don't additionally waste the time of emergency services while you're on your way out. Gareth, you are so outrageous. Well, I've got to tell you, that's how I see it. I often tell my husband when my mind starts to go, just use a pillow and be firm. That's what Tracy says when it comes to like, if she becomes a problem, she'll get her husband to use the pillow and be firm to put her out of her misery. Sure. People are dark, hey? People are dark.
If those are conversations that you have, okay.
That's a loving relationship right there. Where, you know.
No.
Yes.
I'm not okay with that. I'm a bit traumatized.
All right.
This is making something more dramatic.
We have to end this insanity because we've got the Burning Platform coming up next, and Yao Pepper is going to be joining us as a return champion from a previous Burning Platform. We're going to chat to him about all the things that are going on in the news. It's going to be a slightly shorter Burning Platform today, so we'll try to get through all of it by 7:30. But Yao is our guest, and he will join us shortly. The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. That is next. CliffCentral.com.